Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. Calliope Awards for 2015 were presented on Wednesday, April 22nd. I'm Shirley Noon. Calliope is the student journal of art and literature published every spring at Northern Virginia Community College, Annandale. We are bringing you the presentations of remarkable, talented people. Get ready to be inspired. Here they are. Winner in the category of English as a Second Language. First prize, Suran Sateri, The Apostle.
The Apostle. 20 years ago, in my hometown Tehran, the capital of Iran, my family and I met a special man. It was a hot summer day at the beginning of Ramadan, the ninth month of the Muslims' year. During this month, strict fasting from sunrise to sunset is observed, and Muslims cannot eat or drink anything. My father was looking for someone to fix our garage floor, and he hired a laborer who had worked on our neighbor's house. He was Mr. Rasul, whose name meant apostle. He finished his job early, close to sunset, so my mother asked him to stay for dinner. First he refused, but he was convinced after my parents' insistence. He was a religious man, so he had been fasting the entire month. He looked extremely miserable, and we were really happy that at least we could feed him. He refused to sit at the same table with us, as his clothes were filthy. But my father insisted and told him that it was our pleasure to have lunch with him at the same table. He was from a very poor village in the west of Iran. He was the breadwinner of his family, 4 children, his wife, and also an elderly blind woman who lived in his neighborhood. His rough hands, the deep wrinkles of his face, and his sunburned skin affirmed his tough life. He had been working since he was 8 years old, when his father passed away. Like other rural people, he got married and had his first child when he was a young teenager. He had been working his entire life to provide for his family. It was surprising that regardless of all his misery, he had always been thankful. We were shocked with how this unfortunate worker was surviving in an expensive city while supporting 2 other families. During the rest of Ramadan, my mother often sent them and his co-workers a tray of food, fruit, and pastries. We didn't know him well, but he enchanted us with his modesty, politeness, and his sweet rural dialect. A month later, he brought us as a full basket of souvenirs from his village to thank our family. Even after 20 years, I still cannot forget the pleasant taste of honey, sesame pudding, traditional sweets, breads, ghee, and pomelo's peel jam he brought us as souvenirs. They were all the best I've ever eaten. We were sure that he paid his whole monthly salary for them. My mother and I couldn't stop our tears as we were impressed with his generosity. A few months later, my father went to the shopping center near our house to do our daily shopping. Unfortunately, he heard the shocking news that early in the morning, a laborer had been killed in a terrible hit-and-run accident while crossing the street on his way to the mosque. My father subconsciously went headlong to the workshop where Mr. Rasul was working. Sadly, the deceased person was our lovely rural friend. We were mournful as if we had lost one of our close relatives. My parents tried to find his family's address, but all their efforts were in vain, as the only person who knew him returned to his village for good. We still don't know what happened to his family and his blind neighbor. Who knows? Maybe history repeated itself and his son took on his father's responsibilities. Mr. Rasul, whose name was symbolic, had a great influence in my life and touched my heart with his humbleness, mercifulness, and generosity. God bless him.
Winner in the category of creative nonfiction, first prize, McLean Pearson, The Pianist and His Love.
I'm McLean Pearson, and this is The Pianist and His Love. The Turkish March is the perfect girl. It was love at first sight. She was intriguing and inviting, assertively loud, yet also a soft, sweet side to accompany that. Entertaining, unique, romantic, sharp, grand, demure, classic, everything at once. Lofty ideas wrapped up in an impossibly petite bundle of perfection. Life itself reverberated from every song-like syllable uttered by her. And, just like me, she loved the piano. I had to have her. This crush began at sophomore year's end, back in the days of high school. My piano instructor warned me that the Turkish March was a challenging piece, a higher level than I was playing at. I tuned this out, it didn't matter to me. She was just too charming. I might have been in love. At first, it was exciting to practice. I was learning my all-time favorite piece. The song added a new dynamic to the flat days, with a wonderful finale to look forward to. But my infatuation and idealism blinded me from the truth. I simply was not good enough. Initially, I thought my struggles were merely a minor setback. However, there were mistakes after mistakes, each chipping away at my oblivious sanctuary of contentment. Finally, the wall fell. Frustration flooded in. I just could not move my fingers fast enough, and my timing was consistently off. Instead of tickling with her marvelous melody to lure out that lovely laugh, I was driving her to tears with my cruel and clumsy fingers. I was getting nowhere. My teacher kept urging me to try a simpler piece, and although the lack of faith stung, its source seemed credible enough. I wanted badly to give in to these requests and quit. Maybe it was not meant to be. How foolish to think that she was the one. The harshest critics lie within. And I knew my underwhelming show deserved no spotlight. My high expectations turned out superficial as I lacked the skill and now the passion that were much needed to realize my dream. The terrifying thoughts of whether or not I could ever master such a challenge haunted me. What if I never could, in regards to this hurdle or any down the scale of life? I developed an irritable and bleak outlook. I was starting to loathe the song for what it had turned me into. My disposition had become just as horrible as the song on the piano when I played it. I guess what you put into an endeavor is what you get out. My crush was now playing a major key part in my life, but not in the way I was hoping. Yet, no matter how elusive she was, the flirting continued. It was incessant, but it was ever alluring. The prospect of having such happiness permanently in my life was overpowering my doubt. Unwillingly, I had let her become the maestro to my mind, the conductor of my thoughts. Only she could make my heart truly trill with excitement, or drone in despair. At the time, it seemed more so the latter. But anything that could propel me to such heights deserves an encore, a second, better attempt in taming my passionate longing. The possibilities were too splendid to pass up on. If I quit then, it would not stop the suffering, rather eliminate any chance of bettering my dismal situation. The more I thought about it, the more I was sure. I didn't want her presence in my life to be merely a failed staccato. I wanted us to be eternal. It was a seemingly unfortunate obsession for me. But one thing had become clear. I could not ruin this chance with such an awe-inspiring piece of art. I had to have her. Although she was many octaves above my bass-like level, I was to double my determination to reach her. This song was definitely worth it, and much more. Unconsciously, she changed my character once again, making me strive to better myself. My heart was compelling me to an effort infinite. No matter the difficulty, I was fixated on attaining perfect harmony for song and soul alike. Dull practicing became a necessity. Perfect practice makes perfect performance. And from these efforts, I slowly began to let my love's tunes capture their true delight, much to her own. The best relationships are the ones in which you make each other great, no? I became fascinated by every intricacy and how each one was essential to its greatness. The grace notes were graceful. The drastic changes in amplitude and tempo throughout were exciting. The slurs created an elegant atmosphere to complement its exhilaration, the loveliness of the lighthearted theme. All these features combined into a whole that was greater than the sum of its parts. No notes were wasted. The piece was flawless. I wanted the whole world to know of these splendors and to boast of how she was only mine. No one could see her or display her in the exact affection as mine, or so I would like to think. Though she may have been made in the heavens with all her goodness, she was created for me. Selfish thinking? Maybe. But she had made me feel powerful and worthy again. And then I knew. I was in love. Looking back, I learned three things from my crush. First, love can be your very own hymn or requiem. It is not all rosy as most believe. It takes time and the process can be just as depressing as elating. However, with the right amount of sacrifice and dedication, it shall chime true, for anything is possible in its name. Second, listening to a beautiful song is nice, but perfecting it on an instrument reveals a whole other marvelous side. Face value isn't nearly as profound as the vast beauty within. Lastly, keep chasing after your true love. Never settle. Who knows what might happen? Your fantasies might end on a happy note.
The Calliope Committee is grateful to so many people at Nova Annandale, staff, faculty, and students, for their generous support and creativity. Robert Brown of Nova's Web Services and Digital Media served as technical editor of this podcast. Nova, we are partners in your success. See you next year. For Calliope, I'm Shirley Noon.